Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, our Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Our next Bible reference is Isaiah 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from thee, there is no God. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That is Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now this morning we're going to be thinking about this word. The word is the Trinity. The Trinity. Famously, the word Trinity is not a word that is found in the Bible anywhere. But even though it's not found in the Bible, the word Trinity does very well to explain some very important truths about who God is. Truths that, like some of the things we mentioned at the start of the service, are very, very hard for us to understand. You see, the Bible is very clear that there is only one God. That was one of the verses we looked at from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, which we looked up, said this: I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. There's only one God in the universe, the God of the Bible. Christians don't believe in many gods. We believe in one God. There is no other God than the God of the Bible. He is the true and the living God, the creator of all. And yet, although the Bible teaches that God is one, it also teaches that his oneness is complex. And we get an idea of this from the very first chapter of the Bible, which tells us about God creating the world. Look at this verse that we read a moment ago. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. What's interesting about that verse? Bearing in mind that God is one. What's interesting about that verse? Who thinks they know? Sorry? It's saying, let us. You see, if I'm one, I would say, I am going to make man in my image, wouldn't I? But God says, let us make man in our image. Us and our, those are plurals. So at the beginning of the Bible, we get this amazing idea that actually God is one, and yet there's something plural, more than one, about God as well. So good spot, Ewan. So that's from the outset of the Bible. We see there is a more than one element to the one and only God. And as the Bible unfolds, we see that God reveals himself in this complex unity of three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, fully distinct, but not separate. They are fully one from all eternity. And perhaps the clearest place we see this is when Jesus sends out his followers into the world to make disciples of all nations. And he says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Listen carefully, baptizing them in the name of, not the names of, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons. One God, but three persons. See, the Bible says God is one, but the Bible also teaches that God is three in one. And one person has said that this idea of God being three yet one is perhaps the most difficult thought that the human mind has ever been asked to handle. It's not easy. but it's true. We might say that this is a mystery. It's a mystery because it's beyond our understanding. And this is why the word Trinity was invented. Because it helps keep the truth of God being one and three safe. It means tri-unity. Tri meaning three, unity meaning oneness. Or it means three in oneness. That's what the word Trinity means. Now, who's good at maths here this morning? Okay, I'm going to give you a maths question. And, do you know, I think I might ask Edward if he can come and help us do this. Edward, come up. Here's a maths problem, okay? Now, this is putting you on the spot, and your brother's going to endorse your answer, isn't he? Look at this. Edward in plural, you see? Here we go. So we get, this is the maths problem. 1 + 1, yeah? Don't say the answer yet. +1 = think about it hard, okay? Think about it hard. Here's the pen. You write the answer there. That does say 3. That is a great answer. Well done. Go and have a seat. Well done. It does look a bit like a seagull flying on its side, but it is a number 3. Well done, Miles. You can go and sit down as well. Well done. Do you know, I think you should get a sweet for that again. There you go. Cool, look at that. Go on. And Miles, you can have one because you're his right-hand man, supporting your brother all the way, which is what we like to see. So, we know that in maths, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But I'm going to teach you a bit of Bible maths this morning, okay? Because according to who God is, he's three persons, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. But when it comes to God, 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't equal 3, it equals 1. That is mind-boggling. What? How does that work? How does that work? It's a mystery. It's what the Bible teaches, but it's beyond us to fully understand. It's mind-boggling. And any attempt to try and explain it leads to error. Okay? People have tried to use illustrations to help us understand the Trinity. One of the illustrations is an egg. Okay? Let me try and show this to you. Here's an egg. Actually, that's a glass. But here's an egg laid by my hen Toffee. Okay? Here's an egg. Now, some people have tried to explain the Trinity being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit a bit like an egg. Because if you crack an egg, there you go. Look at that, lovely. It's going to be my lunch later. What are the three parts to the egg? Who can tell me what the parts of the egg are? Just have a look at it. What are the three parts, Elijah?
The shell, the white, and the yolks.
The shell, the white, and the yolk. Well done. The shell, the white, and the yolk. Those are the three parts of an egg. One egg, but three parts. Like God, right? Three persons, each making up a part of God. Is that correct? No. No, it's not correct, and I'll explain why. Because firstly, God is not three parts. He's three persons. There's no personality in this, is there? So that's one reason why it's not right. The second reason why it's not right is because each person of the Trinity is not a part of the Trinity. Each person of the Trinity is not part of it. It's not like the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are like a third of the whole. The Father is the whole of the whole. The Son is the whole of the whole. The Holy Spirit is the whole. He's completely God. Each person of the Trinity is completely God. The shell is only part of the egg. Yeah? It's not completely the egg. The yolk is not complete. Can you see the complexity? Yeah? An illustration doesn't actually help. because God is so unique. Another example is the one that's on the screen up here. It's water. Water, it can be water, liquid, it can be ice, or it can be water vapor, it could be steam. And sometimes people say, well, the Trinity is a bit like that. You know, it's one thing, but it has sort of three forms. But again, that just can't be right. It can't be right because they don't exist all at the same time. Water becomes ice when it gets cold, it becomes steam when it gets hot. It changes into different forms depending on its temperature. But God doesn't change into the Father and then into the Son and then into the Holy Spirit at different times. No, God is and always has been Father, Son and Holy Spirit from all eternity. See, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit are not three manifestations of God that he manifests at different times. No, they are three distinct persons and yet fully one forever. Now, this is mind-boggling. And there are other analogies that people try and use, and perhaps we can talk about some of those afterwards and why they too can never really explain God. Because God is unique. As we learned from Isaiah, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. So it shouldn't surprise us if we can't find anything to perfectly illustrate him. And it shouldn't really surprise us that if God is real, he is more wonderful, more mind-boggling than we can ever truly comprehend. So although there's no analogy to help us understand the Trinity, I want to try and give you something to symbolise the Trinity, which is different from an analogy. I want to give you a sort of a symbolisation, a pictorial symbolisation from something called the Identity Course. Now you can see it up here. Here's a picture, a diagram, and there's one crown. There's not three crowns. There's only one crown because the crown represents God, because he's the ruler of all. But within the crown, you will see three members, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is also called the Word in the Bible. Each is fully distinct, but each of them is fully God. They're a loving union of three. This is our eternal God. Now you might be thinking, hang on a minute, where does Jesus come into this? Well, John's Gospel tells us that God the Son, also known as the Word, took on a human nature. God the Son took on human flesh. And we remember that, don't we? At Christmas time. And that person who took on human flesh became known in history as Jesus. Jesus Christ. And God the Son took on that human nature for the rest of his existence. So from eternity past, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. At Christmas time, God the Son took on a human nature so that now forever, God is God the Father, God the Son in with a human flesh, and God the Holy Spirit. Again, that's mind-boggling, isn't it? That now our humanity has been caught up in who God is. Now, there's loads that can be said about this, and I don't want to boggle your minds much more. But what I do want to do is just finish by giving you three important truths, telling you why the Trinity matters. Because you might be thinking, hey, you know, it's complicated, it doesn't matter that much. Let's just talk about God and leave it there. No, it matters. Firstly, it matters because this is the truth about who God is. See, we're not free to think of God as we like. You're not free to think of me as, well, I like to think of PJ as a Spanish girl with blonde hair. Because that's just not who I am. Yeah? I'm a middle-aged man. Slightly greying. Only slightly. Yeah? You know, there are things that are true about me and there's things that are false. And we are not free to think of God as we like. We have to accept the way that God has revealed himself. And if we don't accept his three in oneness, it means we won't truly know him as he is, and we won't honour him as we should. So it matters because this is how God has revealed himself. Secondly, it matters because it explains how God is love. Now, this is really, really important. So I think hard about this. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. And the evangelist Glenn Scrivener says this about this verse. He says, this verse doesn't just say that God is loving. He is. But this truth goes far deeper. It says God is love. He is Father, forever loving his Son in the intimate bond of the Spirit. Love is not simply what he does. It is who he is and who he has always been. You see, God... You see, only a triune God can be a God of love. If you have a God that is not three persons, God is going to have to make something else in order to love. Yeah? But if God is love and he's been love for all eternity, how can he be love? Because love requires that giving to another, doesn't it? God is love because from all eternity he's been in relationship with Father, Son and Holy Spirit in this wonderful union of love. You see, unless God is three in one, God cannot be love in himself. That's why the Trinity matters. It matters. And this is finally, there's other reasons why it matters, but this is the final reason why it matters. Because you see, if the Trinity is who God is who he's revealed himself to be, if it matters because it explains how God is love, lastly, the Trinity matters because God wants us to share in his love. For the story of the Bible is how the one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, worked together in history to bring sinners like you and me to share in his love. That's why God sent his Son to die on the cross. And to rise from the dead, so that through faith in Jesus, you and me can enter the eternal love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible says we can experience this love now as God pours his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwells us by his Spirit. See, that's why understanding the Trinity matters. Because the triune God wants us to share in his love. That love that he's had from all eternity. And that love that he wants to share with us for all eternity. We enter that relationship of love through the saving work of Jesus Christ. So let me finish with this question. We've been thinking about the Trinity. We've been thinking about how within the Trinity is eternal love and how God wants us to share in that love. My question to you is this. Have you entered the love of the Holy Trinity? Have you come to share in that love whereby you know the love that the Father has for the Son, that the Father has for the Spirit, that the Spirit has for the Father, that the Spirit has for the Son, that the Son has for the Spirit and the Father? Have you discovered that love that they have for each other is also the love that they have for you personally? And God wants you to know that love and enter into that relationship of love with them forever and ever and ever. If you've yet to experience that love, please speak to me afterwards, because you can leave here today with that new relationship of love with the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a love that will be with you forevermore. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are beyond our understanding. Thank you for bringing us into your love, a love that existed before the world in your three perfect persons. We praise your holy name. Amen.